in this month of December, as we've been going through the prophecies of the Lord's coming. His first coming, this one happens to mostly deal with the second, but it applies to the first as well. If you would stand with me in honor of God's word, Isaiah there in the Old Testament, some 700 years before Jesus came, prophesying here in Isaiah 60 verse 1, says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, in deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you." And it goes on and describes all that. If you would, skip down with me to verse 15. "Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went with you, I will make an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. You shall drink the milk of Gentiles and milk of the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Let's pray together. Father, we come before you now and we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the fact that you have come. You've brightened our world. You are the light of life. Lord, I pray that you would take your word this morning and in these few moments that you would apply them to our heart by your Holy Spirit. You would empower me to preach. And Lord, that we would be reflecting your light to a dark world so that others might see and know the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus and come to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, when I was growing up, in my teen years, I had a room that was upstairs. It was the only room that was upstairs, and you had this long stairwell with green shag carpet that you went up to get to it, and it was a single room up on this, and it had windows all around. You could see all around, and I loved it. I loved it because it was kind of secluded from everybody else in this house that we lived, and so the only problem with that room was that the light switch was at the base of the stairs. And so every morning, now there was a light switch upstairs, but you had to get out of bed to go get it. Every morning I would hear these words, "Arise, shine, rise and shine, the light's come." And that light that was in that room happened to be right over the top of my bed. Every morning, boom. And suddenly you couldn't help but wake up. Well, I read these verses and I can't help but think of that as I would hear my mom call out from the bottom of the stairs, "Rise and shine, the light's come," quoting her version of this verse. But what this verse is talking about, and it's got much, this whole passage has a lot of future implication. We're not going to get into that this morning for time's sake. We'll address that at probably on a Wednesday night coming forward as we dig into this more. But I want to just look at this morning, really two things. First of all, what is the glory of the Lord? What's the glory of the Lord? Well, Paul gives us an answer. But first, before we go to Paul, look again here in verse 1. It says, "The glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Here's Isaiah. He's talking, and he's talking to a people that are dwelling in darkness. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we looked in Isaiah chapter 9, and it talked about there in the beginning of it, before giving us the names of this one who would come, that he's the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, this son that was given, this child that was to be born. Before giving us all those names, he said, the people that once dwelled in darkness, in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, to them a light has come. and shone among them. You say, well, where is that? Well, geographically, in the land of Israel, that would be the area between Nazareth and Capernaum. Those two cities were around the Sea of the Galilee, and there was a highway called the Way of the Sea that went from the Sea of Galilee up over the mountains all the way down to the Mediterranean Sea. And undoubtedly, Jesus walked that road many times as he traveled back and forth between Nazareth and Capernaum. These people that were way up north, they were people that had been overtaken. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, they had been overtaken by and invaded by a foreign army, and they were dwelling in darkness. Darkness is always a picture in the Bible of being separated from God. They were apart from God, dwelling in darkness. And yet Isaiah said, to those people, a light's coming. But now here, in Isaiah chapter 60, he says, the light has come. He proclaims the light has come years before the sun has been born. Who is that light? That light is Jesus. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ will shine upon you. John put it this way in John chapter 1, verse 14. He said, the Word became what? Flesh. Dwelt among us. And then John said, we beheld, we looked upon, we gazed upon. In 1 John, he says, we even touched him, we heard him, we knew him, we knew him personally, we observed his life in every way. We beheld his glory. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be anything but, right? He said, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You want to know what God's glory is? God's glory is wrapped up in Jesus. Jesus is all that the Father is. He's the expression of all that God is, because he is God, fully man. And yet, John picked out two characteristics that really impressed him about God's glory. He picked out the truth of God. He called Jesus the Word, the truth of God, the very essence of who he is, his righteousness, his holiness, his upright standard. He is the truth in each and every way. But he said he's not just the truth, he was full of grace. He was full of grace. He was full of God's goodness and favor shown towards us. That in the person of Jesus Christ was combined not only the truth of God, whereupon we look upon it and we see the glorious light of who he is, and we fall down at our feet afraid and we say, woe is us, because of we're sinners and he's so holy. But now in the person of Jesus, we have not only the truth of who he is expressed and the truth of who we are, we have also the grace of God given to us. You see, the glory of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, his truth, his righteous standard. And if you look at the life of Jesus, he never failed to tell the truth, did he? You think about his life as he was going through, he would tell the truth to his disciples. One day he would say to Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter would answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he would say, blessed are you, Simon, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. My Father gave that to you. But then the very next day, they're walking along, and Peter is talking to Jesus, and Jesus is telling him, I'm going to have to be killed and crucified. And Peter said, oh, may it never be, Lord. And he tries to convince Jesus, that's not the way. You're supposed to go up and you're supposed to get up on the throne. And he tries to convince him differently. And Peter, Jesus looks at Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. He told the truth to his disciples. He was saying, you're being influenced now by the devil, not by my Father. He didn't just tell the truth to disciples, he told the truth to everyone. He told the truth to Herod. When Herod said, hey, I want to see this guy come and perform some miracle for me, he said, you go tell that old fox. He called him an old sly fox. He told the truth to the Pharisees. He called them whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but they're dead on the inside. He told the truth to a lost and dying world. You know, we live in a world that doesn't like truth. Do you realize that? The truth is the thing that we need. You see, Jesus came and he revealed the truth of who God is. He revealed the truth of who we are so that we could see our need. But he didn't just leave us there. He gave us grace as well. He was full of truth. He was also full of grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. But he came and he gave us God's riches at his own cost, at his own expense. He reached down to us when we did not deserve it. So he says here, Isaiah says, the glory of God, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. That glory is represented in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and full of truth. Well, that's what the glory is, or who the glory is. What do we do about it? If the glory's risen upon us, if the glory of God has come to us in the form of a baby, as the choir just sang and led us into worship of coming and worshiping at his feet, what do we do in response to the glory of God having come to earth? What's our response? Well, look back up in verse 1. Isaiah gives us two words here. The first one, he says, arise. Arise! Get up! Get up from where you are. It's a call to come. Just like every morning I'd hear my mom say, get up. The daylight's come. The day star has come. And as he's talking in here about the brightness of the rising, he's talking about that moment when the sun pops up over the horizon. If you've ever been out, now I know some of you younger people don't know what a sunrise is. It's that thing that happens every morning. You got to get up at a certain time to see it, though. But if you've ever been up that early and you've gone out, you'll see that the sky begins to get gradually bright in the east as the rays of the sun begin to come up and the shadows begin to disperse, but there's still very long shadows all the way up until that moment when the sun begins to peak over the horizon. And there's something interesting about the sun. When the sun comes, when that first sliver comes shooting over the top, and you see not just the rays of the sun, but you actually see that the top of that disc, it is so bright that you can't, unless it's covered by some clouds, you can't stay staring at it. It's just, bam, it's there. Oh, it might gradually begin to appear and the rays begin to shine up on the horizon, but once that disc starts to rise up in the air, it's boom. That's what he's talking about, that the glory of the Lord is like that. That it's brilliant, and you can't stare at it. But it's risen, he says, upon you. He's come upon you. He's risen in your hearts. So he says, what do you do in response? You arise. You go to him. You remember there, as they were just singing a few moments ago, that the day that Jesus was born, that night, there were shepherds who were in the field, and they were keeping watch over their sheep. And as they were doing so, there was this angel that came and declared to them, I give you good tidings of great joy. And they're falling down afraid because of the brightness that he was shining upon them, and they're falling down in fear, and then he says, don't fear, I give you good tidings of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior, Christ the Lord. This is how you'll know it's him. This will be the sign. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Then suddenly this whole multitude of angels, an army of angels, is praising God at the top of their voice and shouting, "Glory to God in the highest." The shepherds, when they got done, they said, "Oh, well, that was neat." And then they went back to watching their sheep, right? No, in Luke chapter 2, they didn't go back to watching their sheep. They arose. They got up. They said, "Let's go see this that we've been told about. Let's draw near." And they go and they search in Bethlehem until they find the babe there, just as they had been told, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You see, when the light comes, when the truth of who God is and the grace that he brings, the offering of peace, reconciliation with God that he freely gives comes to you, you must arise. You must say, "Yes, I want to see this, what God has given." When he says, Isaiah says, "Arise," he's calling to them. It's an invitation to come. But it's more than an invitation, it's a command. He's saying, "Come. Come, behold the light. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ." But then secondly, he doesn't say just arise, he says shine. He says shine. That too is a command. Church, the word shine is for those who have come to the light, have beheld it, received it, are walking in the light. We're told, shine. We're told to reflect the glory of who he is. You see, those shepherds, when they came and they beheld and they worshiped, they didn't just keep it to themselves. If you read in Luke chapter 2, what did they do after that? They go out, and the Bible says they spread the news. They told everybody. They told everybody they knew. Everybody they came in contact with. "The Messiah is here. We saw him. He's in a manger. You go see him too." They shared the good news of who Jesus is with those around them. So much so that the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 that the whole town was abuzz with what the shepherds were reporting. You know what they were doing? They were shining. They had come to the light, had received the truth of who Jesus is, had recognized the truth of who they are, and had received the grace of that Jesus offered. And in a sense, they were going forth in shining that light, that truth, and that grace to others. Here's what the Christmas message means for you and I. Here's the action point. Here's what we do. We arise. We arise to worship and to come to the light. We arise to behold the glory of the King. And then once beholding that glory, we shine. We go forth and spread his light. We spread the light of the truth of God. We spread the light of the grace of Christ to those around us. That's our task. That's what we're called to do. Church, today, this week, let's arise and shine for our light. The Lord Jesus Christ has come. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? If you're here this morning and you've heard in song the message of who Jesus is, I hope you've heard in the Word the message of who he is as well. He's the truth. He declares the truth about you, but he also offers you great mercy. If you're here this morning, you've never received that grace, you've never received that mercy that the Lord Jesus Christ came to offer you personally, this is the morning. I would invite you, I would plead with you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Come before him, bow before him and say, "I recognize I need him to save me and I want the grace that he has to offer." And the Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If that's you this morning, as Becky plays, that promise can be yours by simply acknowledging that you're a sinner and you need Jesus to save you. and then by asking him to do just that. By saying, Lord, I need your light in my life. Would you save me? The Bible says that if you repent, that's recognizing you're a sinner, turn from your sin, and you receive him in faith, then you shall be saved. If that's you this morning, then I urge you just to pray and ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me. The Bible says that he will do that. He will shine upon you and he will save you. Christ will give you life. If you're here this morning as a believer, most of you are, the call to you is to go forth, to share his light, the grace and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ with the world that needs it, till he comes. Becky's going to play. If you have a decision to make, if you want to know more about receiving the Lord as Savior, then I'll be down front. I encourage you just to step out. Nobody's going to think anything of you other than rejoice with you. If you have a question about that, I'll also be at the back of the church afterwards. If you have another decision to make, now's the time as Becky plays.